As you can see up there, the reading is from, there's two sections, Acts 11, 19 to 30 and 13, 1 to 3. There are Bibles up the back there if you wish. The church in Antioch. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. And moving over to chapter 13. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. May God give us understanding from that portion of his word. Thank you, Peter.
Good morning, everyone. A particular welcome to you if you're a visitor here today. My name is Peter Evans, Early Church Pastor. I've been working our way through a sermon series in Acts. Just one quick one. It's a bit of a longer talk today. Before I start, I've got my calendar. Ninganas today. I'm pretty sure I've got that right. This is a Ningana church service at 10:30. So if anyone would like to come, please come and join us. Let's start by communion to the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, as we come to open your word this morning, it's a real delight to see the importance of the word in this passage this morning, and may we be reminded of its importance as we open your word up and apply it to our lives. Father, it is my prayer that you might use me as your mouthpiece this morning. Lord God, may all that's said from this pulpit be tested by your word. May we be known as the people of the book, people who know, read, and have a great desire to live by your word. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. One other quick announcement I've just forgot as well. We're hoping to baptise Ruby Henning next Sunday as well, so we'll look forward to that. 8:15 next week, we'll have to baptise Ruby. The speed at which our world is changing, I find, is quite breathtaking. I remember in grade 8 in high school when I first used a computer. Grade 8, my very first computer, it had white text on a black screen. I hadn't even heard of the internet. My kids today use iPads, screens that they touch, and I'm using one this morning. There's not even a keyboard on it. In fact, you can just say, "Siri, show me how to get to the nearest library," And it will. If I want to talk to my brother in Japan, I don't phone him anymore. I FaceTime him. It's a free video link all the way to Japan. Who'd have thought that on my mobile phone I can watch TV, I can surf the net, I can play my favourite movie and do my banking? It's been said that change is the only constant in life. Well, our passage today is all about a church living in times of great change. It's the church in Antioch. It's only 12 years old, and in order to meet the great need of taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, it undergoes dramatic change and growth. And as we read about this church, we're going to see that amongst the great changes, three things really stand out. I'm going to call these three marks that should be seen in every healthy and growing church. Three core activities that we want to see in our own church here at DPC. Those three marks are that it is a church that is preaching, a church that is loving, and a church that is sending. As we look at this church in Antioch and these three core marks of a healthy church, there are a number of questions that we need to ask of ourselves. What changes do we need to do as a Christian church here in Dalby? What pivotal changes are needed if we're going to meet the great need of taking the gospel to our own town and to the Downs? How do we maintain these three essential marks of a Christian church while adapting to great changes in our society? How do we meet the needs of the world in which we live? Well, the first mark of a healthy church, we'll find it. Please open your Bibles, Acts chapter 11, verses 19 to 25. Acts 11, verses 19 to 25. The first mark of a healthy church is it is preaching. Preaching the word to make disciples. This mark is really foundational to the rest. The rest flow out of this foundation of preaching the word. By faithfully preaching the word, we make disciples. We see people saved. We see people discipled into spiritual maturity. Now, so far in our journey through Acts, we've seen a number of individual Gentiles become Christians. Remember back in chapter 8, there's the Ethiopian eunuch, and then chapter 10, we saw that with Cornelius. And now, in the second half of chapter 11, we're going to see a church in a largely Gentile town of Antioch just take off due to the preaching of the word. If you have a look at verse 19, we're sort of taken back to Acts 8, verse 1. We're taken back to the stoning of Stephen. Now, Stephen's martyrdom has a huge impact on the spread of the gospel. The persecution of Christians that follows that of Stephen's death results in the Christians just scattering. They head as far as Phoenicia, it says, Cyprus, and this town of Antioch. But as they go, as they scatter, they spread the word, which sounds great, but there's a problem. You see, they scatter spreading the word, but they only share the word with the Jews. See, they've still got their Jewish blinkers on. They haven't yet fully grasped that this is a new covenant, that the forgiveness available in Jesus is for all nations, as it was told to Abraham. However, there are some Jews. They've come from Gentile areas. Some are from Cyprus, a small island off the coast. Some come from Cyrene, which is 1,500 kilometres west of Jerusalem. It's actually sort of over in North Africa. These Jews, they've been living as minority groups in largely Gentile areas. It's not like they've come from Jerusalem. I wonder if that shaped them, making them more willing to share the gospel with the Gentiles. I wonder if they'd come to love their Gentile neighbours, understood their culture, and so they were able to break down the ethnic and social barriers, break through their prejudices. You know, it's funny, as I was preparing this sermon, I've got a brother-in-law, his name's Mark Adams. This big Greek guy, big nose like all Greeks have. His family comes from Cyprus. He's been a great encouragement to me. In fact, he's doing a great job of encouraging others in the faith, just like his countrymen in this passage. He was so pleased to hear I was preaching on Acts 11 today. I think he claims it as part of his own Christian heritage. But back to the passage, when it comes to Gentile cities, Antioch, and there it is, I've circled on the map, Antioch is particularly significant. You see where Jerusalem is down the south, go up to Antioch. There's Cyprus that we've already mentioned. See Tarsus up the north. We'll talk about that a bit later. Cyrene is sort of way off to the west, North Africa. Antioch there is quite a significant, it's a strategic city. In fact, it's got a population of at least 500,000 people. It's the capital of the Roman province of Syria. It's a city known for its culture and its multiculturalism. It's a great melting pot of different ethnic groups. It's also a very pagan city. They worship many foreign gods. But the main local temple, what the place is really known for, is to the goddess Daphne, who in that temple, the place is infamous for its sexual immorality. It's not a nice place. Antioch had a reputation for being the place where any worldly pleasure could be found. But these Christians who have come from Cyprus and from Cyrene, they've travelled all the way there to Antioch, they aren't intimidated by this great city or its inhabitants. They went there for the express purpose of telling people about Jesus. And look at what happens. Verse 21, the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of what happened in the church, this new church here in Antioch, soon reaches the mother church down in Jerusalem. In response, they send Barnabas, that great encourager. Now, he's actually from Cyprus himself. He's sent to check things out in Antioch. And what does he find when he gets there? He finds out this is the real deal. The Spirit's at work, and he is thrilled. True to form, he encourages them. Look at verse 23. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. The encouragement is keep your eyes on Jesus. Stick to your guns. The main thing is that the main thing remains the main thing. The main thing is Christ. Barnabas is just the man that they need in Antioch. Have a look at verse 24. He's a good man. He's full of the Holy Spirit. And through his faithful ministry, a great number of people are brought to the Lord. This is what happens when the word is preached by the church. This is what happens when God's hand is at work. People are saved, made disciples. In fact, there's so many being made disciples in Antioch that Barnabas realizes, I need help. In verses 25 to 26, what does he do? He heads north looking for Saul. He goes to Tarsus, finds him, brings him back, and they spend a year meeting with the church, teaching the word to great numbers of people. The church grows so big that the locals give them a nickname. They call them Christians, a nickname that stuck for the last 2,000 years. And what a great nickname it is. They're called Christians because they did what Barnabas encouraged them to do. They were true to the Lord. The locals saw that this was something new. This is something different to Judaism. These guys, they're all about Christ. Christ Jesus just stands out in their life. Their lives point people to Christ. It wasn't what they wore. It wasn't what they ate. It wasn't where they lived that made them different. It was this Lord they followed, the Christ. So they called them Christians. Unfortunately, the nickname Christian today, I think, has actually lost much of its weight. According to the 2011 census, about 61% of Australians call themselves Christians, but less than 5% go to church. See, for most people, the label Christian has become nothing more than a weak allegiance to a vague set of virtues. The word Christian seems to have lost what the locals in the city of Antioch saw in the Christians there. The question then is for us, what do the people of Dalby see in us? Would the people of Dalby give us that label? Wouldn't it be great if we lived out our lives in our community in such a way that people saw us reclaiming the original meaning of being called Christians, people living for Christ? How's that done? How do we do that? How do we regain that true meaning of the word Christian? Well, it starts with the preaching of the word, speaking to people, telling people the good news about the Lord Jesus. It's oozing Christ in our life. Remaining true to the Lord with all our heart. Through this, we make disciples. This is the first mark of a healthy church. This is where we start if we want to see great numbers of people brought to the Lord, just like here in Antioch. The second mark of a healthy church is seen in Acts chapter 11, verses 27 to 30. A healthy church is one that shows selfless loving. A healthy church is one that cares about the broader work and welfare of the church. In verse 27, some prophets from Jerusalem, they've travelled north up to Antioch. With the one guy there called Agabus, he predicts there's going to be a severe famine that will spread over the entire Roman world. There are, in fact, several famines in various parts of the Roman Empire recorded during Claudius's reign. And a number were in Judea, around Jerusalem there. Historians believe the famine mentioned here is probably about 45, 46 AD. When the Antioch church hears this, there's going to be a famine around Jerusalem, what's their first response? It isn't to focus on themselves. It isn't making sure that their needs are met. Their concern is for their brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. Can you see the significance of what is happening here? What we have here is a church of largely Gentile Christians helping out a church of largely Jewish Christians. What clearer way could they display the fact that there is one Lord, one faith, one church? They're united in Jesus. Ethnic differences are wiped away. That's not what's important. There's more to this story of the Gentiles being accepted by Jewish Christians into the church. The story's not over yet. We'll cover that when we get to chapter 15. But the bottom line is they selflessly love the church. According to their means, what do? They gather money together. They get Barnabas and Saul. They send them off to deliver that to Jerusalem. You know, this selfless loving of the broader church, that's what the elders are proposing with our restructure next year. Ross Petherbridge, he's been pastoring this church for the last 15 years. The last five or so as a senior minister. He's faithfully preached the word. He's made disciples. I am one of many here who will testify to this. He's challenged me to apply the gospel to my life. We want him to keep challenging us through the preaching of the word. We want to keep benefiting from the personal example he gives us of applying the word to his own life. But you know what? There is a great need across the Darling Downs. Dalby, we're an anomaly. Most country churches are declining. And we have an opportunity to selflessly love the wider church. We presented to you last week a proposal to release Ross as a consultant to help revitalise country churches and to release him as a seniors ministry worker to address the issue of equipping the elderly saints in our church and others for ministry. He'll stay on here as our senior minister, but most of the time will be devoted to these two new roles. Sure, the senior's ministry role with the elderly, it's still here in our church, but it is going to be very different. To release Ross to do this, for us, it's going to be quite painful. But I believe it's a terrific way to help our brothers and sisters in other country churches who are in trouble. Ross has the gifts to help them. The second mark of a healthy church is that they'll be selflessly loving of the church. For the third mark, I need to flip over to the first three verses of chapter 13. So grab your Bibles and go there now. Chapter 13, verses 1 to 3, where we see that a healthy church will be sending people out. In Acts 13, we see that leadership in Antioch, it's grown. And I tell you what, they are a mixed bunch. There's Barnabas, the son of encouragement. Then we've got Simeon. Now, he's probably a dark-skinned bloke from Africa. The word Niger means black. Then there's Lucius, who's from the province in North Africa. He's probably dark-skinned as well. Then there's Manaen with impressive political and aristocratic connections. He's possibly the brother of Herod and Antipas, who killed John the Baptist. And then there's Saul, who we've met. Later he'll be renamed Paul. These guys are a picture of the cultural and ethnic diversity of the church in Antioch. They're a picture of the diversity, the multiculturalism in Antioch itself. They're a diverse quintet, teaching, leading, shepherding the saints in Antioch. And up until now, though, most of the mission has been driven in the church, what? It's by persecution. But now, for the first time, an entire congregation is behind and driving the mission. Prompted by the Holy Spirit, the church at Antioch takes a deliberate step in reaching out further afield. They send Saul and Barnabas out to win the Gentile world, the rest of the world, for Christ. Antioch becomes a new centre for world evangelism. These guys, they've just set a new agenda for the church. The rest of Acts is largely now about Paul and his missionary journeys, largely to the Gentiles. Now, you know what? Our church here at DPC, we have a terrific history of being a sending church. We saw Chloe tick off. There's much about our church that is very healthy. And the fact that we have sent so many people out is a wonderful legacy. It's a great sign. It's not long ago now. Before Will and Ryan will fly out to spend a year on mission in Asia. They need to raise funds. They need 25 grand each, 50 grand in total. Have you prayed about how you might be a part of supporting them, helping send them out? You know what? As a church, we have very much taken a step of faith here with Will and Ryan. Finances are tight. We're not meeting budget. And we know that economically our town's struggling. But we also know that God invites us to test him when it comes to giving. We believe that God can open the floodgates of heaven, pour out so much blessing on us that we will not have room enough for it. We're sending Ross regionally, and we're sending internationally Will and Ryan. Who will be next? The third mark of a healthy church is that it's a sending church. So the healthy church is one where we see preaching, loving, and sending. The church in Antioch displays all these marks, undergoes much change and growth. The challenge for us is to do the same. Now, I started this talk talking about the rapid change in our society. By the way, I found this picture. Is that the old church building? I started this talk talking about the rapid change in our society. Such rapid change in our society is a great challenge for our church. As a church, we must understand change. We must manage it well. We need to understand how change affects society in which we live. And we need to contextualise or package the gospel in a way that connects with our changing society. Unfortunately, changers are reluctant often to face these changes. And despite the dire need to connect people with the gospel message, churches often resist change. The result is the church is seen as increasingly irrelevant. The problem is many churches make a fatal error. They make the error of equating change with compromise. This is one of the major reasons why churches die. When you couple that misunderstanding and fear with the failure to focus on the three marks of preaching, loving and sending, this is the main reason why most of the churches in the Darling Downs, I believe, are dying. At our Queensland Assembly meeting a couple of weeks ago, in our presbytery report, of the 20 charges, 20 churches on the Downs, only 5 employ ordained full-time ministers. Dulwich and Chiller and the 3 churches in Toowoomba. There are 2 that can only employ a home missionary. There's a couple that can afford ministers part-time. The rest are vacant. In 10 years, if nothing changes, many of these churches will have to close too. You know, it's been said that the only life form that isn't changing is a dead one. Change is a necessary part of life and growth. If we fail to connect with the changing society around us, if we stagnate, become ineffective, allow the gospel to become irrelevant in our society, then our church too will slowly die. So we've got to engage our culture without compromise if we want to spread the life-living gospel contained in God's word. This means not only understanding our culture, but understand the difference between what I'm going to call substance and style. Style is those things that we can change and adapt to fit our present culture. Style is things like the type of building you meet in, a stone building as opposed to a brick old chemical warehouse. While substance is our core belief and values, those things that we should not ever change. We will constantly reinforce through Bible teaching our core beliefs and values. When it comes to matter of substance like preaching, loving, sending, we will not compromise. When it comes to style, we'll change and we'll adapt. We'll face our fears and do whatever it takes to get the life-saving message to our community and beyond. Antioch was a church that changed the world. Why don't we, in this largely Gentile town of Dalby, become the Antioch of the Darling Downs? A new centre for world evangelism. Dalby, a church that changed the world. Why don't you join me now as I pray at the Spirit that his hand might move among us, that our entire congregation would get behind and drive the mission of taking God's word to the world. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you did a mighty work in Antioch. You worked through a few faithful men who taught your word, and it ignited the church. The preaching of your word created a new centre of evangelism to the world. May the same thing happen right here through us at DPC. We pray that your hand, Lord, would be on each and every Christian church in our town, that we might be united in taking the gospel to our town, our region, our state, our nation and beyond. Father, let us be known as Christians, because the way we live points people to Christ. Help us to always work hard at the preaching of your word at church, on Sundays, in our home groups and in all of our ministries. Help us to work hard at speaking the gospel to our families, to our friends and to our workmates. Give us opportunities to be selflessly loving of the church, to be united and not let any of our brothers or sisters be in need. And may we not stop being a sending church. Continue to raise among us people to be sent. as part of your great mission of taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.